Morning, church. Hope you brought a Bible. Invite you to turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. As we get into the Word together this morning, you'll notice on page 2 of the program, there's an interactive outline that goes along with this lesson. We study the Word of God. We can fill in the blanks a little bit with the Scriptures. And if you'd like to talk about anything that we say or do here, ask questions about it perhaps, invite you to do that. We'll be staying out in the foyer there at the conclusion of the service. Just mention that because I look out and I see that we do have some guests with us today. And new faces mean new friends. So glad that you're here. And I want you to know that you're in a place where we truly love one another and love God. We want to know Him better that we might serve Him better. And that means giving good attention to His Word. This morning, I'm beginning a short two-part series on angels. And the reason why we're talking about angels and looking into the Scriptures is because, you asked for it. A couple different times this year, different people have said, I'd love to hear something about angels. I'd like to learn a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes and what does the Bible say about that. And Edwin and I were talking the other day and I realized we're kind of running out of year. So why don't we go ahead and dedicate a couple of Sunday mornings to talking about dedicate a couple of Sunday mornings to talking about this subject. So this morning, angels, God's spiritual messengers. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to talk about angels departing from their domain. Let me ask you this. Do you believe in angels? It's interesting. When you go back into the Bible, you will find that there is the whole spectrum of people and their beliefs about angels. Why did you know that there was a group of the Jews, the Sadducees, who denied angels? They did not believe that angels existed, according to Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. And yet on the other side of the spectrum, there were people who worshipped angels, the Gnostics and even proto-Gnostics. And we're warned, do not worship angels in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, because people did. And I would suggest to you that in 2,000 years, that same spectrum exists today. You're going to find people that don't believe about them at all, and you're going to find people that worship them, pray to them, and everything in between. According to a 2016 Gallup poll, 72% of Americans believe in angels. 12% said they weren't sure, maybe. 16% no, we do not believe in angels at all. But when I add those numbers up, the people say, oh yeah, I believe in them. And the people that, well, maybe. You see that the great majority of our neighbors believe in them, or they're very open to the possibility. But people believe all sorts of things about angels. In fact, different religions teach different things about angels. Classically, in traditional Judaism, as well as Roman Catholicism, the teaching is that of guardian angel. You have your own angel assigned to you. But I give you another religion, and that is the Mormon religion. And they teach that angels are dead people. From the LDS website, quote, angels who are spirits have not yet obtained a body of flesh and bone, or they are spirits who have once had a mortal body and are awaiting resurrection. A spirit before it gets a body, or a spirit after it gets a body, that means you're an angel, or you were before you were born, and you're going to be one again when you die. Give you another religion, Islam. When you read the Quran and learn about that religion, you're going to see some angels in there, some names you'll even recognize, like Gabriel. There's a whole other list of angels in there, some names you probably haven't heard of. And the story of angel is interwoven with these other spirit beings that actually owe their origins to pre-Islamic Arabian superstitions and mysticism called the jinn. And that's just this whole other deal. And then stepping out of religions but into popular culture, how many of us have heard this? Teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. We've heard that taught us as well. But what does the Bible say about angels? You know, the word angel or angels appears almost 300 times in our English Bible. And so there is plenty of information about them. I will say this morning, maybe not enough to answer all of our questions about angels, but plenty of information to gain a picture of them. And when you gain a picture of them, I believe you're going to be impressed. I know I've been impressed. I can't help but notice in the Scriptures that whenever an angel appeared in his glory, in his angelic state before people, they typically fell down to the ground Some people fell down before them in fear and paralyzed. Others fell down in almost this involuntary reaction to bow and worship them. They are impressive beings. We are going to be impressed. And yet, as impressive as they are, we benefit the most looking at angels by gaining a better picture of our great God. Our great God who created angels. Our great God. Angels worship Him. And so I'd like to start in Psalm 103 this morning. Psalm 103, verse number 20. Psalm 103, verse number 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Number one in the notes, who or what are angels? Who or what are angels? This word in our Bible that we read angel is a word that means messenger, sent one, or ambassador. It's the Hebrew word malak. It's the New Testament word, Greek word angelos. But it means messenger, sent one, or ambassador. And I just like to get a handle on that because not every time the word appears is it talking about some spiritual being. It's interesting that King David sent a group of messengers to Jabesh-Gilead in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 5. He wasn't sending a horde of spiritual beings, but he was sending his own envoy, those who were speaking with the authority of the king. We find this word come up in Haggai chapter 1 in verse 13, where messenger, malak, this is applied to the prophet. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger. Haggai wasn't a spiritual being, but he was the Lord's messenger. Prophets were messengers of God. In the book Malachi, which is interesting because here is a prophet who takes his name from the word, meaning the messenger or God's messenger. But he applies the word that is in other places translated angel to the priests. In Malachi 2 verse 7, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And yet these are men set apart to teach God's people God's word. They were in this respect God's messengers. And even in the prophecy of Malachi, Malachi 3 verse 1, there's a teaching about John the Baptist who is going to come. Behold, I send my messenger, my malak. But he wasn't sending an angel. This was fulfilled by John the Baptist. He will prepare the way before me. And we find him appearing right on time. And you can read about that in Mark 1, verses 2 through 4. Generally speaking, malak, angelos, they're applied to heavenly messengers. And so our translators help us out when context indicates we are not talking about a man, even a priest or a prophet. And when context indicates that we are considering spiritual messengers, heavenly beings, these messages, typically you will find that word angel. Now, just as the Bible reading, or just as a Bible reading tip, and this can be kind of fun, but when you open up the scripture and you read somewhere angel, try saying the word messenger. That's the word that's there. And it kind of gives you a sense sometimes, well, did they get that right? Is this talking about spiritual beings? Or might this be a different person or a different messenger? It's a real interesting exercise. I think most of the time they probably get it right. But I do want to make you aware. And it does help us to see that just as a prophet is not a race, a messenger is not a race, it's a task. It's an office. Mankind is a race. Likewise, we see that angel is an office. It's a task as much or more as it is a spiritual race. But now God did create some spiritual beings to function predominantly as messengers, spiritual messengers. But messenger isn't the only task that they have. An angel is not the only name they are called in the scripture. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment. But I want you to see that as angels are messengers, they deliver a variety of messages within the scripture. For instance, they bring information. They bring news. I put all these scripture citations in the notes. We won't read them all, but just to sort of illustrate the point a little bit. Information sent to Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. I don't know Mrs. Manoah's name, so we'll just call her Mrs. Manoah. But these were the parents of the judge Samson. And here this angel, this man appears and begins to speak to her and then to both of them together, bringing good news, information that this barren woman will have a son and that this son's going to be a deliverer for Israel. And also, while he is the angel of the Lord, she calls him consistently a man of God. He was a man with an awesome face, a striking face. But when he appears, he's not sure where he came from. He's not sure where he goes when he leaves. His appearance is remarkable, but he's bringing information to Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. You have the angel, this time named Gabriel, Zacharias, and he's bringing information concerning John the Baptist, isn't he? The angel appears and it's very frightening to Zacharias as he's offering his service in the temple. And he identifies himself by name, I'm Gabriel. Incidentally, there's only two angels in the Bible that are named. You know, it's Gabriel and Michael. A bunch of you are mouthing it. You're good. That's right. It's Gabriel and it's Michael. Gabriel identifies himself as one who stands in the presence of God, but he was sent to bring good news, glad tidings. And again, it's a message about a barren woman, Elizabeth. She's going to have a special son, John. And Gabriel is exercising a power here because he can even strike Zacharias mute for his unbelief. But he's coming to deliver information. With Mary, the same angel Gabriel, we're going to read more about him in Luke 1, 26 through 38. He appears to her. She is the virgin, and yet he announces to her this miracle. The virgin shall be with child. She is the highly favored one, but this is some life-changing information, is it not? 9 months later, you come now to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. The babe is born in Bethlehem. They took him and laid him in a manger. And who let shepherds out in the field? No. It was angels and it was heavenly hosts. They brought a message that the deliverer, the Savior, had been born and they must go to Bethlehem and to see. In the Old Testament, again, maybe one other example of this is the prophet Daniel. Daniel who prophesied, and again, angel Gabriel is named in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16 and 9, verse 21. And Gabriel's going to guide Daniel through some of the visions and help him interpret and understand the visions and what they meant. Prophecies about the future that Daniel was to write in a book and seal up. But again, it's information, revelation for Daniel the prophet, and angels bringing information. So, messages, news, sometimes good news. Second type of messages angels bring in the Bible, messages of encouragement. They are tremendous encouragers. It was a message of encouragement when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, though he's hiding out threshing wheat in a wine press. And how does the angel address him? A mighty man of valor, or valor. What's interesting, too, about this mighty man of valor, he didn't look all that mighty when the angel came along. But he told him that he was going to raise him up to be the leader and the deliverer for God's people. And he even works a miracle in his midst by touching off a sacrifice, lighting it with fire from his staff. He was building up Gideon for a role that Gideon must take. Incredible encouragement to the apostle Paul, who in Acts chapter 27 finds himself on an ill-fated voyage. He had warned the ship captain, we ought not to leave port. This ship's not going to make it. And sure enough, storms were going to sink it. But an angel appeared to Paul by night and encouraged him that not a life would be lost from the ship because he must appear before Caesar and give witness, give testimony. Well, that would be a very encouraging word. And he told the other people, hang on, we're not going to die in this shipwreck. Angels appeared to encourage Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11, we're taught that after he resisted the temptations of the devil, 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, incredibly weak, angels appeared and ministered to him. Well, what exactly did that look like? What exactly did that mean? I'm not sure, but I'm sure it was encouraging. I'm sure he needed something at that time. Or even the night of his betrayal, we are told in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. He's gone off into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, Father, let this cup pass from me. He's praying. He's asking his disciples to pray for him. His disciples keep falling asleep. But an angel appeared and strengthened him, encouraged him in the garden that night. Angels bring messages of encouragement from God. Third, then, angels bring messages of judgment. Judgment. It is an angel that acts upon David's sin when he counted the people, took a census in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. God used an angel to punish the people, and an angel killed 70,000 men with plague, and he would have destroyed Jerusalem, but God called his hand back. Sodom and Gomorrah, it is the judgment of God. Genesis 19, verses 11 through 25, angels have been sent there to destroy the city, according to verse 13. But they've also come to rescue Lot and rescue his household. And they brought down fire and brimstone upon the city once Lot and his daughters had gotten away. And as they act, the Lord is acting through them, because it also says the Lord destroyed this city in verse 24. One final judgment to bring to your attention. And there are other examples of all these things, but just to make it clear. The judgment upon Assyria in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 34 through 37. I love this because it just looks so dark. It looks so bleak. All the armies of Assyria have encamped around Jerusalem. They are besieged. And Hezekiah is praying and crying out to God. And who can save them but God? God sends one angel into the camp of the Assyrians, and in one night kills 185,000 men. In one night, one angel. What's so interesting is in the historical records that King Sennacherib kept, he talked about how he had shut up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage, but Jerusalem never fell. The Bible tells us why they never fell, why the Assyrians packed up and went home. It was an angel bringing judgment upon those people and delivering God's people. In these episodes, we see angels can bring God's messages both in word and in action, and they are mighty beings, mighty beings. Indeed, the scriptures teach us they are spiritual beings, and they are not bound by the flesh. Spiritual beings, not bound by the flesh. But understand that they are created beings. God made them. He spoke them into existence according to the Psalms. Psalm 148, verse 2, praise them all his angels. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He spoke them into existence, just as he spoke all that we see and know into existence. In 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, he created them. As they are the creation of God, they are called in some places God's holy ones. In other places, they are called sons of God and sons of the mighty. Though not every time you read the expression sons of God, is it talking about angels? And evidently, these angels were created before the world we know, the creation of the earth we know, this material universe, because it is reported in Job chapter 38 and verses 4 through 7 that they rejoiced when God laid the foundation of this earth. And while Job was not there to see what God did, angels were, and they were overjoyed. Created beings who are not subject to death. In Luke chapter 20, verse 36, talking about us human beings in our resurrection, we shall not die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. What does it mean, equality with angels, or to be like angels? Well, part of it is you're no longer subject to death. That is something that goes along with the flesh. So it goes along with this life. Some of the angels are pretty old. Angel Gabriel, we said a moment ago, appeared to Daniel the prophet, appeared to Zacharias and Mary. Do you realize that there's about 600 years between those two lives? But the same angel shows up bringing a word from God. They're not eternal beings. They're not gods. They were made. They were made. And yet they are immortal. They're made in such a way they're not going to die like human beings die. They're spirit. At times they are invisible. As we go here to Numbers chapter 22, verse 22 and 23, you have the episode where God is displeased with a man named Balaam. And he's riding his donkey down the road. And what is this donkey doing? Because the donkey just veers off into the field and leaves the road. And it makes Balaam so mad. But they get back on the road. And they ride a little bit farther. And the donkey goes way over to the side of the road and crushes his foot against a rock. And he's so upset about this. And another time the donkey moves forward and then just lays down and just stops walking. And Balaam's so fit to be tied. And he just wants to beat that donkey and beat that donkey. And then the donkey started talking to Balaam. Why are you hitting me? I've done you no wrong. And that doesn't even pause Balaam. Talk about some road rage. I'll tell you why I'm hitting you. Because you did this and you did that and you did the other. And then God opened the eyes of Balaam. And there was an angel of the Lord standing in the path with a sword ready to kill Balaam. And that donkey had saved his master's life every time. They had been invisible. Their spirit, they're able to pass from the spiritual realm to the physical, from the invisible to the visible. And so Balaam saw an angel that day, and a faithful donkey saved his life. Now, when they appeared and passed from the visible to the invisible to the visible, most often they look like men. And to a lot of folks, they appeared to be men, kind of strange men. Like, well, where did you come from? Lot thought the angels who came to Sodom where he was staying, they were just strangers. They were people passing through. And so he offers hospitality and to keep them through the night. Jacob is called Israel. He wrestles with God. And his account recorded in Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32, there's a man shows up. Now, Jacob thought this was a man. And Jacob thought, I can whip this man. Because he starts wrestling with this man. And he won't let go of the man. So this is a different kind of appearance than some of those other guys that make people, you know, fall down and they're terrified. He looked like a man. Or Mrs. Manoah, right? And she goes and tells her husband. She said that the woman ran in haste and told her husband, said, look, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah goes and asks, are you the man who spoke to this woman? He looked like a man. Incidentally, angels never appeared as women in the Bible, though they are not male nor female, but they do always take this male form. Jesus makes clear they're not male or female. They don't marry or are given in marriage. They do not procreate, but they do take that male form. And yet, as men, many times they make it clear that these are supernatural men. And people begin to realize these men are very different. For instance, at the time of Jesus' resurrection in Matthew chapter 28, verses 3 and 4, here come angels, and boy, do they know how to make an entrance. It says his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. When these guys descend from heaven or appear, however it is, they come about, and they're bright, and people are fearful. Hardened Roman soldiers fall down paralyzed like dead men. Now, most drawings and illustrations, and even songs, really, take the picture of white garments and glowing people, and they add wings to them. They add wings. Even the pictures that I put up here have wings on it. We were singing about the snowy wings, and you know, I get all that. I'm not sure how you necessarily demonstrate in art, like men, not like men. How do you go about that? I do want to just register, though, just so you know, the Bible never says angels have wings when we're speaking distinctly about angels. There are some other spiritual beings that have wings, okay? Particularly the seraphim, these beings that protect God's holiness. You read about them in Isaiah. There's also seraphim that were carved and placed upon the Ark of the Covenant that traveled around with Israel, and sometimes of beings with wings, they've got wings. You read about other spiritual beings called cherubim, and they're pretty wild to read their descriptions. They have all different kind of faces and features about them. They protect God's glory. And certainly the Bible tells us that angels fly. Gabriel flew to Daniel, you read. But if you're a supernatural being, you don't have to have wings to fly. It's interesting, but that same man, angel man, that talked to Manoah, Mrs. Manoah, when he leaves, he sees that there's a sacrifice going on, and he walks over to the fire, and he kind of stands up in the fire, and he just ascends up out of view. He flies away. But it doesn't say anything about his flapping, his wings, but he flew. He flew. And in the book of Hebrews, Christians are encouraged to show hospitality to one another, because we never know when we might be offering hospitality to angels unawares. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Supernatural men, bright shining men, not necessarily with wings, but in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, there is the idea that we may meet angels and not be sure that that's who we have met. And if that's the case, well, that's just like Manoah, and that's just like Abraham, and that's just like Lot, and that's just like a whole lot of people you read about in the Bible. Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for in so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I do want to run this, make this clear, though. In every case, angels are messengers, and they're servants of God. Messengers and servants of God. When John's having his visions, and we read about in the book of Revelation, two different times, he's just overcome by what has been shown him, and he wants to bow down and worship the angel. And two times he's corrected, don't worship angels. But notice the words in Revelation 22 and verse 8. He said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Angel says, I'm a servant like you're a servant. I bring a message of God, as prophets brought messages of God of old. In all cases, they are messengers and servants of God. Well, what are angels like? What are angels like? I'll give you some characteristics of angels here. We see them demonstrated with incredible strength. Incredible strength. Psalm 133, verse 20 talks about, bless the Lord, you as angels who excel in strength. In the episode of the resurrection, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2, it talks about how the angel rolled the stone away. There was an earthquake and he rolled the stone away. That's not a one-man job. It never was a one-man job. It was a team of people. They would use a lever. I mean, it was a big, big deal. And he comes and he moves it. That's a demonstration of incredible strength. Not only do we see them showing lots of strength, but then demonstrations of power. Power over the natural world. In Acts chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, the church is praying for Peter, who's been captured, and it looks like he'd probably be killed by the evil King Herod, and there's a jailbreak at night. In fact, an angel comes and gets him. And what's remarkable about this is when the angel wakes him up, the chains fell off of him. And it wasn't a demonstration of strength necessarily. He didn't break the chains. They just fell off. And they start running that through the prison. There's no guards there anywhere. And they get to the steel gates up front. And they just open of their own accord. He didn't punch them down. They just open. And this is demonstrations then of power. Demonstrations of power. They are called or said to have had great wisdom. Great, great wisdom. In fact, there seems to be a proverb about their wisdom spoken by the ancient Israelites. King David is honored by this proverbial understanding when he sees through a lady messenger and knows that his general Joab has sent this woman. The lady says to him in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20, yes, Joab has done this thing, but my Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of the angel of God, to know everything that is in the earth. And there's a couple other places in there talking about being wise like the angel of the Lord. Great wisdom, but I want us to understand they are not omniscient. They are not God. They are not all-knowing. And in your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, we learn that there was something they were very curious about through the ages. As they would carry their messengers, indeed as God's prophets had spoken, they all wondered what the Lord was doing to bring about a redemption and salvation of mankind. They weren't all knowing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. There was a knowledge and a will of God that they were even participating in it. They didn't have knowledge of it at the time. They're very wise, but they're not omniscient. And what we have come to learn and know through the gospel is something they always wanted to learn more about. And yet in all this picture, they are humble, humble beings. Humble with all. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, as they are contrasted with false teachers, angels are. He talks about false teachers and he says, those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, they are self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. False teachers and men full of pride are willing to open up their mouths and say all kinds of things. Angels are very humble creatures, and they only speak within accordance of the word of the Lord. They are humble, though we are made a little lower than they. One last thing to tell you about the characteristics of angels is that they are able to sin. Able to sin. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about angels who have sinned. They're able to choose to leave their domain. They're able to choose, act out aside of God's will. And we're going to drill down in that concept a little bit more next week. But they are able to do it. Well, will you ever see an angel? Will you ever see an angel? I want to say this morning that angels are not like fairies or leprechauns. Made up little pixies and something that we try to hunt and catch a pot of gold. They're real. The Bible testifies to their existence. And maybe we would like to see them. Maybe you've met someone who says, I have seen an angel. Maybe you say you've seen an angel. And one of my mentors, a gospel preacher named Carl McMurray, he was having a Bible study with a lady one time. They're about halfway through going through the scriptures. And she said, Mac, I saw an angel this morning. He said, you did? She said, out of the corner of my eye in my kitchen, I looked and there was a man. I looked back and he was gone. And Max said, well, did he tell you anything different than what we've been studying? And she goes, no. Did he say anything contrary to the scriptures? She goes, no. He said, well, then let's have our Bible study. He goes, I wasn't about to tell her what she saw and what she didn't see. But I want you to appreciate the role of angels is to bring a message and a word from God. And if we have been given all that pertains to life and godliness, if we have been given this gospel of Jesus Christ that saves, they're not going to add anything to it or take anything away from it today. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, I marvel, here's the warning, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. We can be assured that nothing an angel is going to say pertains to our salvation. This is given us in the word, and it is not to be changed. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us through the true knowledge of him who called us, Jesus Christ. We have what we need to be saved. I get it. We like those movies. I like to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence is on a mission to help George Bailey, and George also gets to help Clarence get his wings. Or that movie, The Preacher's Wife, Denzel Washington. Man, he's a sharp angel. And he helps that preacher to understand that his wife and the love of his wife is the most important thing. More important than other things. But when it comes to my salvation, all that I need I have in Christ. When it comes to my salvation, no other gospel comes by any other messenger. When it comes to my salvation, the gospel message was made known to angels in real time. We just read that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Revealed not to themselves, but to us who are ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. They wanted to know about this gospel that came from the Holy Spirit and through this message and through this preaching. We are assured that angels are ministering spirits for God's people. I'll just say that angelic experience is not something to seek, but neither is it something to fear. As we're taught in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, they, the angels, are they not all ministering spirits, or spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Angels are mighty instruments in God's providence. And God works for the good of his people. But I want you to appreciate this morning that angels can do their work, even minister, even serve and help and aid, whether you see them or not, whether they talk or whether they don't. I'll give you an example of that in Exodus chapter 14 and verses 19 through 20, talking about the people marching towards the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea. The people saw a pillar of cloud. The people saw a pillar of fire. There was this miraculous intervention in the episode because an angel is in the form of the cloud. An angel is in the fire. And neither the Egyptians or the Israelites see or speak to the angel, but the angel is there working mightily for God's people Israel. That cloud comes down separating the Egyptians from the Israelites, and they can't find them. But understand that the angels are serving God, not serving you. They act on God's orders, God's wishes. It's not our orders, it's not our wishes. But I do want you to know this morning that one way or another, the answer is yes. You will see angels, because angels are coming with the Lord for judgment. When the Lord returns and when this world ends, angels will be there as ministers of God and working in the way he sets them forth. And 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 talks about the return of the Lord. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 talks about how the Lord's going to come to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And look at the pictures here. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end, at the time of the resurrection, angels will be there and you will be there. Will you be ready to meet the Lord on that day? Will you be prepared to see those angels? They'll be mighty on that day. Instruments of God's judgment. Oh, yes, you will see angels. Well, as we take this part of the study to conclude, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, next Sunday, what would be the takeaway from this attention to God's spiritual messengers? Appreciate with me the angels are specially prepared messengers from God. He made them unique in creation. They are designed and suited to carry every message that he intends them to carry. But know also there is a message reserved for Christians to carry. And that there are 7 billion people on this earth who God is not sending angels to, because he has ordained his covenant people, his church, bring this message to them. And that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I want you to know that Christians are specially prepared to carry a message from God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You read about how angels would even defer to some preachers and employ men to preach the gospel in the book of Acts. It is an angel that catches Philip but sends him to preach to an Ethiopian treasure in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And Philip preached Christ to him. It is an angel that appears to Cornelius the Gentile and tells him that he must send for Peter. Have Peter come to preach to you and to your household words by which you will be saved, according to Acts 11, verses 13 and 14. I want you to know that like angels, God has created Christians. God has created us new in Christ, prepared, equipped, suited to take the message of Jesus, to take the message of his cross and his resurrection, to take the truth, his word, to take that which angels wanted to look into and to take it to the world. The world will end, and angels will be there when it does. But the message that saves is offered today. The gospel that saves is offered to each one and to you today. There is no other name where we find salvation. There is salvation not found in any other. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And it's not that angels save us, but Jesus Christ who saves us. He's the Savior, the Mediator, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. And as there are spiritual messengers working throughout God's plan in the Scriptures, so we, his church, are his messengers today for that message, that gospel that changes hearts and save souls. It's the message we've been sent to carry. And brothers and sisters in Christ, just like any angel, we must be faithful messengers and servants to carry it. We are God's messengers of this good word. Thank you so much for your good attention this morning. as we begin to look into a little bit, peel back the curtain a little bit, angels as God's spiritual messengers. And I hope that, Lord willing, we can be together next Sunday in part two, talking about angels departing their domain. What is that message that saved men's souls? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave Jesus to die for our sins, but death could not hold Him. He rose again. And while this wonderful work that you read in the Scriptures has angels kind of ministering all through it, it's Jesus who conquers death, who has ascended to a higher place than any angel, and who offers new life and forgiveness of sins to us all. Won't you obey His gospel message today? Won't you be baptized into Jesus? If we can help you with that or in a spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. So together we stand and sing. Won't you come?